As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Football Show.
Everybody, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast and the Athletic Football Show. It is a Friday, a couple of weeks, 10 days before Super Bowl 55 is here between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, and we are here to start getting you ready for this game from a gambling perspective. I am Michael Beller. I am joined by Vic Tafer, as always. Vic, this is not the Super Bowl that you and I expected. We both thought we were going to be looking at the Chiefs on one side, the Packers on the other. That obviously did not play out. I guess it's our own fault for doubting Tom Brady wouldn't be able to get two handfuls of Super Bowl appearances. So here we are, Chiefs and Buccaneers. How you feeling as we start looking toward this game a little more than a week from now?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great game. Obviously, looking at probably the two greatest quarterbacks of all time when it's all said and done. I just think it's amazing with Tom Brady. Everyone says that, but really to think that this year of all years, everyone's talking about, you know, the COVID-19 and all how hard it was, no offseason, all these excuses coaches make, and here a guy comes in, brand new team, and he's back in the Super Bowl, which is absurd. But yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're going to hear we've already heard it a bunch, right? I mean, we've had a 5 days worth of leading up to this game. We've already heard the passing of the torch from one generation of greatness to the next generation of greatness. I think we're going to hear it a little bit more over these next 9-10 days. And we'll try not to say it ourselves, but no guarantees. We're going to get things started on this episode here, not necessarily locking in any bets. If there's some that we have some big conviction about, of course, we'll feel free to lock them in. But really, think of this as part one of a two-part extravaganza as we build up toward Super Bowl 55. We're going to talk about the side, the total. We're obviously going to dive into some props. This is just sort of scratching the surface and getting ready for the big discussion when we do ultimately lock in our favorite plays for Super Bowl 55. That will be next week. We're going to start the conversation here. And Vic, you know, I really think that we should start with the game itself. Right now, the line at BetMGM has the Chiefs favored by 3.5. We have an over-under of 56.5. No movement on the line yet. This is where the line opened. The total has come down 1 point. Opened at 57.5, down to 56.5. Both tickets in handle strongly on the Chiefs and the over. How are you feeling about this part of the game?
I probably lean towards the Brady's. I think just the fact that they're at home, I think it's amazing that it's a home game for them. I think that definitely is not a huge factor, but definitely a factor. I think the fact that I'm sure there's a sense of they're a team of destiny. I'm sure that the players on that team think they're you know, this is obviously some part of some greater plan, because look at these playoff games, and the Saints game, they're kind of lucky in the Saints game. Last week, they throw 3 interceptions and still win that game. So you can't say they're playing their best, and they've gotten here just by blowing out teams. So I think it's kind of cool in that regard. And the Chiefs, I think, obviously incredible offense, but injuries in the O-line, I think, are a little concerning. They have two guys out now in the O-line. I think Mahomes still has some issues with the foot. He's not really himself quite yet. So to me, that also is in the Bucks' favor.
You can even go back to the first game of the playoffs, and Taylor Heinicke and Washington gave this Bucks team all they could handle, and that was one where I really thought that they were going to walk over their opponent, and that just didn't happen. And that game, you know, maybe a little bit closer on the scoreboard than it was in reality, but that was not a game that the Bucks just waltzed on through and advanced to the divisional round. So you're right about them really not having played their best football at any point of these playoffs, and yet they still find themselves in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go the other direction. I feel pretty good about the Chiefs here. I just can't really find a way in which this game doesn't ultimately go in their direction, and I feel comfortable that they're going to cover the 3.5. What you point out about the offensive line is where I would get a little bit concerned. We know Eric Fisher obviously not going to be out there. Chiefs don't sound too optimistic about Mitchell Schwartz being able to return for this game either, and that's obviously going to be something that they have to overcome. That's going to be a very hard thing for them to do. But you think back to the way these games played, the way these teams played, excuse me, in their regular season meeting. It was a game that the Chiefs controlled throughout. The Buccaneers actually made it interesting in the second half, but Chiefs went into that game with a 2-score lead at halftime, only scored 7 points after the break. So you do find some nice adjustments made by that Tampa Bay defense in the second half of that game. But I still look to the way that this Chiefs offense is playing right now, and I don't think that Tampa is necessarily built to take advantage of what the Chiefs maybe don't do. I mean, you can try to take away Kelce, you can try to take away Tyreek Hill, as we saw last week, very hard to take away both of them. And what I liked about Buffalo, I mean, I picked the Chiefs, but what scared me about Buffalo a little bit was a belief that they would be able to score with Kansas City. Obviously, Tampa has that going for it as well, but it just hasn't been a team that has been playing the way that we would want to see from a team that's going to take down the Chiefs. At any point these playoffs, you and I talked about it last week, if Jared Cook doesn't fumble in the second half, late in the third quarter, against the Buccaneers, did the Saints win that game? And are we talking about a Saints-Packers NFC Championship game? I mean, how many things, everything that went wrong for the Packers was a massive thing that went wrong. How often do Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams not connect on that back shoulder throw? And we're talking about 4 points coming off the board where they had to settle for a field goal instead of getting a touchdown. How often does Aaron Jones fumble way deep in his own territory? Every single thing that went wrong, the dropped interception for Green Bay and Tom Brady hits Scotty Miller and a half-ending touchdown 2 plays later. I mean, every single thing that didn't go well for Green Bay went horribly in a huge way. And that doesn't take anything away from the Buccaneers. They still earned their way to the Super Bowl, but it's the reality. So I still do like the Chiefs in this one. I think we're talking about a repeat Super Bowl. And honestly, I might be thinking about playing this up to like 5.5, 6.5, 8.5, playing around with those alternate lines, because I do think that we could see the Chiefs take this one going away, similar to what we saw against the Bills last week.
I know last week we talked about the Bucks and Packers. I said the one thing that concerned me, well, we had both of the Packers, but I was concerned about their running game for the Bucks. I think Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones are running pretty well. I think they could be a big factor in this game as well. I think that definitely gives the Bucks an edge over the Chiefs running game. So I hear you. All those reasons are true about the Bucks skating by, but also kind of shows why they're a team of destiny. I mean, I'll never see myself picking against the Chiefs this kind of game, because I love their offense. Obviously, it's so fun to watch, and I think Mahomes is the best player in the league by far. But the only way I would probably do it is if it was Tom Brady in a home game, you know, with everything going for him. So I can't believe I'm saying it. I really am surprised. I might change my mind, but as of right now, I'm leaning towards the Bucks. I also like the under. I think the under is also a good play. I think we mentioned the O-line problems that KC has, and Tampa has some issues with turnovers. So I think a number sounds a little higher to me. I think I might go the under as well.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to bet a Super Bowl under, right? And I actually checked out the it's no fun. Like, you're right, you're even in this year, you're going to be getting together with maybe a smaller group of people, but still a group of people. You've got, you know, Tom Brady on one side, Patrick Mahomes on the other, two great offenses, two elite upper-crust quarterbacks. Like, no one wants to be sitting there and cheering for a 24-20 game, right? We want to see this game played into the 30s. I do favor the under, too. And it no matter how much experience two guys have, no matter how great these two offenses are, we see it time and time and time again. You have the 2 weeks off. You have all this time to prepare for one another. You have the defenses putting in all this work. And frankly, no matter who you are, maybe a little bit of Super Bowl jitters coming out, and teams start slow. We've seen it over the last few years. Maybe the Eagles-Patriots game didn't start slow, but that's the last Super Bowl. That's the only Super Bowl in recent memory that didn't get off to a relatively slow start. We did see Falcons and Patriots hit the over, but that took overtime, and that took a touchdown in overtime to get that game over. It took the remarkable comeback by the Patriots, and you just see a lot of teams starting out slow in the Super Bowl, and 57 is a big number. We could start slow, and we could still get a, 31-24 game, and we're going under. So it's going to take two A-plus performances. These quarterbacks can deliver it. These offenses can deliver it. But I do favor the under as well. Before we move on from this discussion, and again, we'll have a lot more on this part of the game a week from now, or a little less than a week from now, next week's episode. You say you like the Bucks. Are you talking Bucks money line, or are we talking just Bucks getting the 3.5?
Well, 3.5 is pretty nice. So, I mean, I'm not sure I'm that bold. I'm still haven't really done all the homework and stuff. But just my gut feeling says, I think I said last week, if Brady somehow beats the Packers in Green Bay, I'm on board. So I think I'm on board. I think I might even, like you said, might go for the gusto and go money line. But it just seems like the right play. I know the Chiefs are invincible on offense, but defense is not great. I think, I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun game. I'm sure Brady is definitely enjoying this moment, and it's incredible to me that he's back here again so soon.
All right, we're going to have to nail something down next week. But as of right now, I'm liking the Chiefs minus 3.5. You were liking the Bucks getting the 3.5. We are both on the under, although no bets placed just yet. We'll have that for you a couple of days from now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, Vic, it is prop time. We've got a lot of props that we want to talk about. I know you picked out some that you are in favor of playing. We have award props, of course. We have some of the fun ones to get to. Wondering who is going to get doused with Gatorade and what color that Gatorade might be. Always one of the fun bets that you can make. Bet on national anthem lengths and first commercial. It's all going to be out there. We're talking about some of the props that are available in the BetMGM markets right now. The first one I want to talk with you about, Vic, it's the MVP. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is the obvious favorite. Plus 100, Tom Brady plus 200. It's going to be hard for a non-quarterback to win this, and that is also something that BetMGM is offering you. You can bet not only on the players, but you can bet on the position of who wins the MVP. Let me throw this one at you, Vic. As of Thursday morning, 49.3% of the handle that BetMGM had taken, so almost 50%, is on Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP. So that means a lot of people also, obviously, behind the Kansas City Chiefs. He opened as a plus 130 favorite, now down to plus 100. Tom Brady opened at plus 240. He is down to plus 200. And what we've seen is basically everyone else climbing up. Travis Kelce started at plus 800. He's moved to plus 1,000. Tyreek Hill started at plus 800. He is now at plus 900. Is there any value to be found really anywhere here? I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes is obviously the big-time favorite here, but at plus 100, I think there's just more efficient ways to spend your money.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned, like, people want to have fun with these bets. And, I mean, it's a lot of fun to have been on Patrick Mahomes, even if it is plus 100. I mean, he's definitely fun to watch. And definitely, like, odds are he probably will win it if they win the game. But it's not really a lot of value. I found one that I like, and I'm nuts. But I'm going with my whole defensive theme. I'm going with Jason Pierre-Paul, 150-1. I don't even know when the last defensive player was to win an MVP. It's been a long time.
It was,
Rod Martin?
What was his name? Dexter, the Buccaneers. When the Buccaneers, oh, you're right, the
Buccaneers guy, the cornerback. Williams? Last name, yes, Williams? Jackson. Dexter Jackson.
Dexter Jackson.
We're close. Is that it?
Dexter Jackson. That was the last MVP. MVP.
So I figure three sacks, maybe like a forced fumble, maybe even a touchdown. Or I don't even know. Just three sacks. Even three sacks, I think I'm good. So I think I mentioned O-line problems they have. He's been playing great. He's been playing lights out this last month or so. So, I mean, it's a fun way to go. I think, like you said, there's no real value in the guys top of the board. I mean, Travis Kelce seems like he always scores, so he's pretty – that'd be a good bet, I guess. But I'm going with the Bucks and the upset and the defense. I'm going for the long shot and going JPP.
What a weird Super Bowl MVP that was. He had two interceptions in that game. But, you know, Rich Gannon had that unbelievable. Rich Gannon was the MVP that year. He threw five picks in that one. And, of course, he had the whole John Gruden storyline with being the former Raiders coach, now coaching the Buccaneers. Just a blowout win for the Buccaneers. It was right the defense against the offense, and we saw the defense prevail in that one. And I think it is. Let's look it up. List of Super Bowl. This takes you in fun directions when you start talking about these things, and that's one of the things that we love about this. Having only the one game left, but it takes you in these directions where suddenly we're finding. Von Miller was a Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 50.
Oh, that's right.
So there we go. We have a defensive player. Actually, we were wrong twice. Malcolm Smith was a Super Bowl MVP for the Seahawks in the 2013 season, 2014 Super Bowl. So this would be actually third in the last.
Happens all the time. Happens all the time.
This would be 3 out of 8 years that we're talking about here. If you're right here,
we're getting great odds there. It's going to happen. That's right.
You know what's nice about this is what you always want to do. If you're looking for an MVP bet, you got to build a scenario, right? You got to play out a storyline in which it could happen, and that is something that could happen, right? I mean, if you are going to beat the Chiefs, you are going to have to find a way, maybe not to totally stop Patrick Mahomes, but slow him down. And we would think it would happen from the Buccaneers and their ability to get pressure. We saw it against Aaron Rodgers a week ago. Jason Pierre-Paul, an excellent game in that one. So, I don't know. I think that, at least I'm not going to join you on it if you do end up playing it. But at least you have – like I would much rather do that than, try to find a way to back Mecole Hardman at plus 2,500. Right,
that'd be tough.
Or Ronald Jones at plus 3,500. It's going to be hard for any. Just think back to that Patriots Falcons Super Bowl from a few years ago. James White had an unbelievable game, scored 3 touchdowns. I thought he should have been the runaway MVP in that game, and it was Tom Brady. And Tom Brady had nice stats, of course. And it's very hard for an offensive player who is not a quarterback to win it. You really need to have a Derrick Henry style game on the ground, or be the pass catcher who has just done literally everything for the offense. And it's hard to see that happening with the way these two teams play. So it does feel like a quarterback or one of the defenses, Tyreek Hill, but even just plus 900. Tyreek Hill is the sort of guy who could turn 2 catches into 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that's the sort of game you need to have as a receiver in this day and age to ultimately be the Super Bowl MVP. So it's one that, I really like to just use my money elsewhere. It's a fun one to talk about. We'll keep on tracking it. We'll check it out next week as well. We'll see how where the money's coming in and how these lines end up moving. Can't imagine that anyone gets played to a minus, although Patrick Mahomes, if that bet percentage keeps going up, maybe he ultimately does flip over to a minus here. But either way, it does feel as though it's going to be hard to get away from either of these two quarterbacks with the way that things have gone. We did, 2 years ago, Julian Edelman won himself a Super Bowl MVP. So it is possible, but very hard for a non-offensive quarterback to take this award home.
I was going to get that one. That was a game where the catch where he tipped the ball himself, diving incredibly. Yeah, you have to have an amazing catch, I guess, where you can't say that's because of the quarterback. You have to stand out in a way where make a play that was on a bad pass or a tip or something, but it's hard. It's very hard to imagine, like you said, Brady or Mahomes not winning.
You know what? I'm thinking about. I'm sitting here thinking about that. Wasn't that because that was against the Falcons? That was the Falcons Super Bowl. And the one he won was the 13-3 win over the Rams. Was where Julian Edelman got his Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. And so maybe it's something like that. But I don't think anyone's thinking we're going to get a 13-3 game.
No,
in this one, right? So it's just. I like it. I like the scenario, but I like you getting aggressive with JPP and looking at the defense because not very many people are going to want to go that route. And we'll check in. Maybe we can drive some JPP action. And next week at this time, he'll be plus 14,000, 140-1 instead of the 150 that you're getting now.
So I better get it quick before we move the line. I'm
going to call this the Line Movers Podcast next season after what we're doing here. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk myself into one of these other offensive players. But as for the time being, I'm finding other ways to get my bets in.
Right. I found one prop I liked. It was it's kind of a weird one. It was 10-plus carries on the ground for both Leonard Fournette and Darrell Williams. They each had to get 10 more than 10 carries. And
more than 10, so we're talking 11 or more, or double digits?
I guess that's a good question. If it was, it was 10 or more 10-plus, but I have to double-check that. But either or. But the play's plus 180. If both guys get, mm-hmm. I think it was 10 or more. 10 or more carries. And look,
you're
back.
Willing to trust Bruce Arians here?
I think so. You look back at the last 3 weeks, Fournette's had 19, 17, and 12 the last three games. Mm-hmm. And Williams is coming off two in a row of 13 each. So they've done it, each of them, the last, you know, two, 3 weeks. So I think the running game will definitely be a part of the Super Bowl. I think it won't just be two guys going back and throwing the ball all the time. So I think both those guys should get some more action.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this was actually a bet that I was in on last year in a big way. It was Damian Williams carries. And he was, I want to say it was like 12 and a half carries, and he cruised past it. He had 12 and a half carries late third, early fourth quarter. It was pacing just beautifully the entire game. And it's another bet that I feel like is undervalued a lot because of the offenses that come into these games and the way we expect these teams to play and just really the way that the games are played this season or in the NFL in these days, that we just really expect to see a lot of pass, and that's just not always the way that it goes. Right now, on BetMGM, you've got Leonard Fournette, 11.5 is his number on carries, plus 100 for the over, minus 120 for the under, so they've got the under as a small favorite. Darrell Williams has a 9.5 okay. over-under right now, that's plus 125, right. And then minus 155 for the under. So, I mean, if you like that, if you like these guys, maybe you just take Fournette out of the equation and you just say, I'll take the plus 125 on Darrell Williams. That's not a bad number to get here for him. And I agree. I mean, they just haven't shown really any desire to use even Clyde Edwards-Helaire as anything more than a guy who gets a couple of carries here or there. He had 6 carries last week. It could be a nice Darrell Williams show at plus 125.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's take a look at the quarterbacks. This is something that we're going to get to, and this is one that I find very interesting. It's Patrick Mahomes' passing yards. 329.5 is the number that we have from BetMGM. 329.5 for Patrick Mahomes passing yards. Minus 105 is the over. Minus 115 is the under. So the under, a tiny favorite here. I love the over, Vic. I love the over in this game. And let's think back to that game in the regular season. As I said, this was a game that the Chiefs were winning the entire game. And yes, the Buccaneers did make it close in the second half, but there was never a moment when the Chiefs were losing. There was a moment when it was tied, and that was when it was 0-0. That was the only time the Chiefs scored first, and the Chiefs led the rest of the way. They put up 20 points in the second half, and so they have this game script, right? And they've got a 2-score lead in the second half. Chiefs, the Buccaneers do whittle it down, but still, with that sort of script, we still saw 50 pass attempts from Patrick Mahomes in that game, 20 rushing attempts. We know that this Buccaneers defense is susceptible to the big play, the deep pass. We saw it last week a few times from Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Hello, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Anytime touchdown. Thank you very much. That came in very handy last week. All this for me is just pointing to a monster Patrick Mahomes game. I really like the over 329.5 for him in this one. How about you?
Yeah, I see that. I think that I've not liked the Bucs secondary for a while. I think the Bucs secondary, they played actually pretty well last week, but I think overall they definitely have some holes. And obviously, you can't cover both Kelce and Hill. I mean, they're just too good, and they're just too familiar with Mahomes and what he does. So there's no reason why I shouldn't go under that number. I think it's a good bet.
Yeah, right. It's one that that jumped right out at me. On the other side, we've got Tom Brady. 300.5 is his number. Plus 100 for the over. Minus 120 for the under. Any feel for this one? I think I'm staying away. I mean, maybe things change for me over the next week or so, but nothing really here has me wanting to play it one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if anything, I mentioned like I like that running game. It's getting better with Fournette and Jones. Maybe they try to run the ball a little more often. So maybe that's their approach to. Kind of, you know, some teams try to keep the Chiefs' offense off the field. I'm not sure that's their case here, but I can definitely see those guys getting enough carries where Brady may not hit that number.
It's a tough number, and obviously this is something that's going to change as we get word on Antonio Brown. Obviously did not play in the NFC Championship game. We'll see if he's able to go for the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. Have to imagine that it is going to take a lot to keep him out. I would right now bet on him being out there for for the Buccaneers, but then it's what level of play is he able to bring to the table. So this is a number that I could see changing as we get a little bit closer to the Super Bowl. So I will say, if you are feeling a big Tom Brady game, if you are feeling a big quarterback back and forth battle, right now might be the time to get in on Brady, because if we get good news on Antonio Brown early in the week, and remember, this is sort of a weird week for these teams. I don't think they practiced until Thursday. This is a weird week. Next week is going to be treated more like a regular game week, where we're talking about them practicing a normal schedule. So we could get good news on Antonio Brown very early next week, and we could see that Tom Brady number pop up. So if you're already liking it, now might be the time to jump in. All right, Vic, let's take a look at a couple of other things that we've got here. I want to hit on these some of these receiving and rushing yard props, but I also want to talk about the first player to score. I've got a theory here. I want to run it by you, and you tell me if I'm crazy. Everyone defers, right, in the NFL. Everyone defers. You win the toss, you defer to the second half, the other team receives. The one team that we have seen have a little bit of a proclivity to receive, to say, we don't want to defer, we want the ball right now, is the Buccaneers, right? This is the Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit mentality. They want the ball. They want to go out and score. And I would think that would be accentuated even more in a matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I just feel as though no matter who wins the toss, there's a very good chance that the Buccaneers get the ball first. And so what does that have me looking at? Mike Evans plus 1,100 to score the first touchdown. Chris Godwin and Leonard Fournette plus 1,200. Ronald Jones, eh. But Antonio Brown, if he plays, plus 1,400. That's the sweet spot. Give me one of those three receivers. Evans at 1,100, Godwin at 1,200, Antonio Brown at 1,400. I find myself leaning toward Godwin for no special reason. I just think it's the Buccaneers that I want to isolate on as the team that is going to score first, and I'll take my shot with one of those three receivers. Is that a harebrained theory? Am I thinking a little bit too hard about this, or maybe is there something there?
That's good logic. What's Cameron Brate? That's a guy I seem like Brady likes to go to a lot recently.
Oh man, let's check out Cameron Brate. He's like one of the few guys who I didn't write down, but
that's the guy's going to score. That's my guy.
There you go, right?
That's my guy.
Let's see, Cameron Brate plus 3,000. So you're getting 30-1 on Cameron Brate to score the first touchdown of the game.
I just made some money. Appreciate that. I like your logic. I'm going to twist a little bit. I'm going to make it to my own, and then my guy's Cameron Brate for the first touchdown. Yeah.
You know, if you like Cameron Brate to get in the end zone at any point, he's an anytime touchdown of plus 250, which actually I feel like should be a little higher. Scotty Miller's plus 400. He's one of the Le'Veon Bell who's not going to play, plus 375. Patrick Mahomes himself, plus 300. Sammy Watkins, plus 320. Those are the only players who have a higher anytime touchdown than Cameron Brate. We also have Mecole Hardman, plus 275. So anytime touchdown, I don't know. I would want Brate to be a little higher if I'm really going to buy into him. But first touchdown, right? I mean, you never know. It's always it's one of my favorite bets to play. I will say, full disclosure, the first time I hit a anytime touchdown was the first touchdown was Colts Saints, whatever year that was. That was, what, the 2009 season? The 2010 Super Bowl, Pierre Garçon scored the first touchdown in that game. So we're talking 11 years ago now. I've played it every season since. I haven't hit it once since. I'm going to be honest with you out there. So I don't know if you necessarily want to follow my intuition, but know that my intuition is backed up with something other than just intuition.
I feel like if I hit Brate, you'll get credit for it because your logic got me there. So we'll give you the win if it's Cam Brate. So between now and next week's show, I'll do some more research. But it feels like Brate's been a much bigger part of the offense the last half of the year than he was the first half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they did nothing with the tight ends last week, right? I mean, you had the one big play by Rob Gronkowski, which was a huge real-life play, a huge first down that they converted on the little screen to Gronk, but really didn't get a ton out of the tight end position against the Packers last week. But I feel like you're right. That feels right, that Cameron Brate was a bigger part of the offense in the second half of the season than he was in the first half. Let's take a look at some of these yardage props, and I know that you've got some you want to get to also, but let's look at the receivers. I'm just going to run down a list. Let me know if any of these jump out at you. I have one that does intrigue me. We've got Tyreek Hill. 89.5 is the number for him. 6.5 is the reception number. Those are both coming off at minus 110. Travis Kelce, 97.5 is his receiving yard number. That's minus 110. 7.5 is his reception. The over is minus 150. So a big favorite to get to at least 8 catches for Travis Kelce. Under 7.5 catches is plus 120. Again, all these numbers and odds coming from BetMGM. Flip it over to the Buccaneers. We got Mike Evans, 63.5 yards, 4.5 receptions, both minus 110. Chris Godwin, 73.5 yards, that's minus 110. 5.5 receptions, overs minus 130, under plus 105. And then Antonio Brown, not listed yet because, of course, the injury situation doesn't have him on the board. Any of those from the big-time pass catchers on these teams jumping out at you?
No, but I can see that if you were, you know, liking the Chiefs to score a lot of points, you want to go with Kelce and or Hill, you might want to take them both because I think they can't mm-hmm. both be stopped. So you're looking at worst-case scenario, you probably push, and there's also a good chance you win both. So I think that might be a good hedge if you were going that direction.
Yeah, it's I was surprised to see the minus 150 on over Travis Kelce receptions of 7.5. And, yeah, I mean, the season Travis Kelce had, season for the ages. We just don't see tight ends, even in this day and age, have the sort of season that he had. But, I mean, how many games has he gone over 7.5 this season, you ask? Quite a few. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And that includes the playoffs. So he's gone over 7.5 in 11 games this season. That has you feeling pretty good. And he has done it, Vic, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the last 10 for this team. So the minus 150 still feels a little heavy to me. And that's, I'm not playing the under, I'll say that. But it's the minus 150 scares me off of the over. Maybe if that juice comes down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. It might come down a little bit. But I think also, like, I know Devin White's not great at covering linebacker or tight ends. I'm not sure about the other linebackers, but definitely seems like there might be a way to exploit that if you're the Chiefs. So maybe you even want the number to go up and the juice to come down. Maybe that could be a possibility also.
Yeah. It's something you could check out for sure. Buccaneers, as I said, Mike Evans, 63.5. Chris Godwin, 73.5. Both of these at minus 110. Either of those guys interesting to you?
I have a hard time with Mike Evans. Mike Evans, I can never get right. Usually when I think he's going to have a big week, he doesn't, and then and vice versa. So I think he's a hard guy for me to predict. But especially with Antonio Brown mentioning, Brown's a huge X factor if he's going to play or not and how big a role he'll have. So I think I'll stick with my guy Cameron Brate and then forget about the rest.
Yeah, so I like Godwin, and 73.5 is not a number that scares me. But as I said, right, I think Antonio Brown's going to play in this game. And so this is what I'm going to wait on. This is what I am strategically not playing right now because I want Antonio Brown to be active, and I want that Chris Godwin number to come down. I'm not expecting Antonio Brown to be active and then Chris Godwin's number drops 10 yards, but could it drop 5 yards? Could we be talking about a number that's more at like 68.5 a week from now? I think we could be. So this is one that I will have my eye on. I want to hopefully get good news on Antonio Brown, see that Chris Godwin number come down, and then we'll go ahead and jump on it. You mentioned before we got recording here that there were some things that caught your eye, not just in this market. So what else are you looking at here that we haven't discussed already?
Actually, I mentioned Atuti. I mentioned the running back play I liked a lot. I mentioned JPP. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the safety. I've always thought the safety one's fun, especially if I'm looking at defenses playing.
The team to register a safety, that yeah. A safety happens in the game.
Yeah, those are fun.
I got you.
Especially in the big party, those are big talkers.
Right now, we've got the yes, there will be a safety, is plus 750, 7.5 to 1 on your money.
All right, I got to take that. That's going to happen. It's going to be a safety. So I think I'm leading defenses in this game, leading with the under, so I'll go with the safety as well. I think that.
Man, you're just going to play defenses across the board. I mean, you could look at some interception props for some of these guys. You could look at a defensive player, the first one. Why not just go all the way with JPP? He starts his run to the MVP by being the first player to score.
Like a tipped interception, he scores. Yeah. All right, I like it.
Yeah, something like that, right? I mean, we're looking at a Buccaneers defensive player to be the first touchdown scorer plus 2,000. That could just get you rolling right there.
All these sexy bets, I'm going to be rolling with the defense and with Cameron Brate. You got to love it. I'll be the unsexy side of it.
The thing you want to do in a Super Bowl between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady is just go defense, defense,
all the way
defense,
entirely, right? Exactly. I've never seen the coming.
Let's jump in on some of these rushing props. Again, these are limited right now. Right now, all the numbers that we have are limited to Darrell Williams, Leonard Fournette, and the quarterbacks. Darrell Williams, the rushing yard number for him, 34.5. The receiving yard number for him, 13.5. Receptions, 2.5. The only thing that's not coming off at minus 110 is the receptions over plus 100, under minus 120. Leonard Fournette, I find this interesting. 50.5 is his rushing yard number. Over's plus 100, under minus 120. So we're talking about the under being a slight favorite here. And I think that's just an interesting one to talk about. I don't know how I feel about it. Again, you and I talked about this last week. I said I just didn't want to trust Bruce Arians with the way he uses these backs. So I was just totally, you know, washing my hands of the backfield. Whatever happens with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones happens, I'm not going to have any investment in it. The fact that this number is sitting at an under of minus 120, that actually has me a little intrigued on the under, that we would see this be as aggressive of a number as it is in terms of what the juices you're paying to get it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good point. That's why I'm probably more comfortable with the Fournette number of carries than I am with the Fournette yardage. Mm-hmm. I think you could – I'm not sure what I was going to do. I think they'll give him the ball, but I'm not sure what I was going to do with it. So I think I definitely would not be gung-ho about over 50. I think I would definitely – stick with my carries and not worry about the yardage.
Yeah, receptions for Leonard Fournette, 3.5 is the over is a small favorite, minus 115. And they really have, even when Ronald Jones was the guy, quote, the guy for the Buccaneers, you know, Leonard Fournette was someone who they did enjoy leaning on in the receiving role out of the backfield. So that's still something that I do think we could see. And I'm just going to check really quick. I don't think we have a rushing plus receiving yard. We do now. We do. When I first checked earlier, when I was setting this up, we did not. We do have it now. Leonard Fournette's rushing plus receiving, 78.5 is the number. The over is plus 105. And I don't know, Vic. I mean, if I was going to play one of those, if I was going to play Leonard Fournette plus 50.5 or 50.5 as a small underdog for just rushing, or 78.5 combined at plus 105, I like that a little better because of just reading the tea leaves with where these bets are being priced and what the way that this Tampa Bay team has used Leonard Fournette in the passing game. I find that a little bit more intriguing. And you know that they're going to try to have some rush beaters with the screen, and it's going to be Leonard Fournette who's getting those screens, right? It's going to be Fournette or Gronk. We saw Gronk get the big one last week. I think we could see Leonard Fournette get the big one this week. Last week against Green Bay, caught 5 passes for 19 yards against New Orleans. The week before, 5 for 44 against Washington. The first game of the playoffs, 4 for 39. Like, the dude can catch. This is not the same stone-handed Leonard Fournette that we remember from his LSU days and early on in Jacksonville. I mean, last year for the Jaguars, he caught – where is it at? There it is. He caught 76 passes on 100 targets in a full season with the Jaguars last year. I mean, this is a guy who the Buccaneers like using in this role. I'm really talking myself into, like, all of Leonard Fournette's receiving props. Let's just line him up and knock him down.
Yeah, I think he's been a great story this year, obviously getting cut and signing with the Bucs. I think you get the sense that both Arians and Brady like him. They like having him involved. They like him having a big role. I think he definitely is become a big part of that team. I think he definitely could be, if they're winning especially and they kind of run the clock down, he could have a huge game, I think, if they're on the right side of the score. So, yeah, I think there's a good upside with Fournette. I'm just not sure, again, I mean, you mentioned that the rushing yards are kind of, it's a little, it gives me a little bit of stoppage, but I like overall, I like the screenplays, I like overall the number, it sounds like a good number.
It just feels, I like the double dip, I like that no matter what, as long as he's getting touches, you're contributing to that number, and I'm willing to have to get another 28 yards on top of what he needs for the rushing prop to win, and you get a little bit better of odds, plus 105 is the over right now for that, again, the rushing. Just sitting at plus 100. Let's just really quickly before we wrap things up here. And again, this is just part one of a two-part extravaganza that's going to be wrapped up next week. So we are not done by any stretch of the imagination when we say goodbye to you on this episode. But let's really quick just run through some of the other props. Part of what's fun about the Super Bowl, right? We love talking about the game itself. We're here for the game. We're here to see who wins, who is crowned champion. But this is the Super Bowl, right? We like to have some fun with some of the other ones. As you said, safety, that's plus 750. A 3.5-point spread, we all expect this game to be relatively close. Will the game go into overtime? That's plus 900 for yes. Obviously, we just saw a Super Bowl overtime a couple of years ago between the Falcons and the Patriots, plus 900. Maybe if you think this game is going to be that close, something to think about. Here's one that when I first started betting in a real way, Vic, you know, like probably a decade and a half ago or something, one that really confounded me when I first saw, and the odds are always like this for this one particular bet that you always get offered as a Super Bowl prop. Will either team score 3 unanswered times? And this doesn't count, you know, the touchdown and the extra point as 2. You have to have 3 separate scores, touchdown, field goal, and safety. It's always like this. Yes, a team will score 3 unanswered times is a monster favorite. Minus 250. No is plus 175. Games don't go as back and forth. Even close games don't necessarily go as seesaw as we imagine they do, just by trusting our intuition. So that's one that's that is very intriguing to me, especially with two offenses that can really get going in these two. It would not take a lot for one of them to score three straight times and still have a close game.
So you like the yes? You're in favor?
I will say that if I play it, I'm going to play the yes. If I play it, I will play the yes. And I would, you know, I mean, do you want to, like, I like Patrick Mahomes to get us three straight scores at some point in this game, especially with the way that you can double up at the end of a half. If you really, you defer, you score in the end of the first half, you get the ball first in the second half, you score again, you know, now we're just one score away from getting it. So if I play it, I like yes as the play. Again, minus 250, right? I mean, that's not what you would necessarily think unless you are a degenerate and are as deep into this as I am.
Right. No, I would never think that. So I think I'm surprised, and I wish you good luck, but I will not be doing that myself.
Do you want to get involved in any of the, like, the just total, what, I mean, there literally is a coin flip bet, but do you want to get in the ones that feel like a coin flip? Who's going to call the first time out? Who's going to commit the first penalty? Who is going to get the first score isn't quite a total coin flip, right? But things like that, like, those are always going to be offered to you. Are those things you're going to look at all for this Super Bowl?
Not really, but I will do some research between now and then about the anthem. I'll look at the anthem. I'll do some. I'll break down some video and see the notes, you know, how much you carry the notes and stuff. So that's a big one. That's always a party favorite when you get that going. Again, it'll be a smaller party this year, but I like the anthem bet. What else? The Gatorade one, the color of the Gatorade. I've never been a fan of that. I don't get the – who cares? Who cares what color the Gatorade is?
I can give you the odds right now that we've got from BetMGM. So the favorite is orange. Orange is plus 140.
Yeah.
Then yellow, green, lemon, lime, whatever is plus 500. Then you've got I'm reading this wrong. So the next after orange plus 140, you've got red/pink plus 300. Then you've got the yellow, green, lemon, lime plus 500. Clear, gray, white. Not sure if this includes water because sometimes that's in there, and we can reach out to our partners at BetMGM and ask that. But clear, gray, white is plus 650. Blue is plus 800. Purple, violet, indigo also plus 800.
See, of all the
that's what we're looking at.
Of all the bets on the board, this has to be the most dirty one. It has to be someone who knows what color is going to be. Someone has to know this. They must tell somebody else. Someone's making a killing on this Gatorade bet. I don't know how you find that out, who it is, or what. You don't see any movement in these lines. They're very smart. There's no movement on the color of the Gatorade line. But someone's making some money off this one. I wish I knew who it was. But someone has to know the color. I mean, I'm guaranteeing it's not a surprise. Like, oh, hey, it's blue. Who knew?
We should dig up in between stopping this tonight and when we record next week. You know, the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. They just won the Super Bowl last year, right? We can see what Andy Reid was doused with last season, and at least maybe that gives us a little bit of insight into what sort of Gatorade the Chiefs like. And don't you think, like Andy, if Andy Reid's a Gatorade drinker on the sideline, he it's his call, right?
Right.
It's not like we're changing it up and it's, you know, we're going to let some backup linebacker choose what the Gatorade is.
Though, aren't there? Right? I mean, it's probably different.
Patrick Mahomes, right? Maybe Patrick Mahomes gets to choose. Like, we're not going willy nilly with our Gatorade.
Now, there's probably different buckets. Like, just because Andy Reid's drinking orange Gatorade doesn't mean they're going to dump the orange one on him. Someone who's in the know may like, no, that's not. That's the dumping one's the blue one. Like, it could be different. A lot of stuff going on here. A lot of shady stuff. I wish I knew more about. But that one always I thought was the dirtiest one. I'm sure someone's making serious money every year off this Gatorade thing.
I've got it screenshotted, so we won't forget. When we get back for part two next week, we will jump back in on this and see if at least maybe the lines have moved, although you don't really see the Gatorade bath line move very often. That's going to do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast and the Athletic Football Show. We hope you had as much fun listening as we did recording. Again, we're just getting started on this discussion because there is no game this week. The game is next week. Vic and I will be back with you to lock in some of these that we already haven't locked in. We'll see if Vic can talk me into jumping on Cam Brate as the first touchdown scorer with him by that episode next week. Until then, thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy maybe getting your full weekend back and not having football to watch at any point this weekend. We will be back with you next week. Until then, talk to you soon. Cheers.
This was the Athletic Football Show.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.